All right, start the show.
You guys want to start the show?
Let's start the show.
Sugar. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Saturday Morning Cereal. It's the show that's all about the themes of Saturday morning TV that not only did we grow up with, they've also grown up with us. You know, you probably should have predicted this by now, but it's me, Dan Grimshay, your host. I've also got in studio again. This is our second back in studio recording. The novelty's starting to wear off, to be honest with you. But sitting right next to me, if we could hear your voice, Marky, are you here?
Hey, everybody. It's good to be here.
Today we even got Marky. And also, sitting directly across from me for the completionists, I've got Jimmy the Gent Lazinski. Jimmy, hello?
Part-time. Yes, I'm here.
I get that reference.
So we are gathered here today, not because necessarily of an interview, but because it turns out it's the 40th anniversary of Raiders of the Lost Ark, a little film that kicked off the Indiana Jones franchise, which finally, thankfully, led to Shia LaBeouf. But I think it's fitting.
End of episode.
It's like opening the ark, and all of our faces
and everybody melted off. Nobody closed their eyes.
Oh, the sacrilege and of Shia the LaBeouf crystal skull out. Already upon us.
Here we go.
But I think it's fitting because Indiana Jones is a good example of, for Steven Spielberg, the adventure serials that he grew up with. He forced into popular culture back in the 80s while we were watching cartoons. You could say he had the power to make those themes grow up with him, those adventure serials.
This is also...
Which actually, our title is a pun on.
That's right. It is.
So even more reason for us to talk about it. That seems justified enough, right?
Yeah. I think you're probably a little off because it was more George Lucas's idea, and he was the one that was all into the serials. But Spielberg was way into it.
Is an example of that. He was recreating the Flash Gordon, Buck Rogers serials, right?
And this one, he was kind of trying to do it again with like those like Humphrey Bogart, you know.
Yeah, and then he got Steven Spielberg to help, and they came out good.
It came out the best ever.
Yes, it's amazing. They're making another one.
Yep, right now.
Regardless of how you feel about it, they're gonna make it.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen.
They posted a picture just today. I saw.
Yeah, it's got Indiana Jones and he had the freaking mask on. So this is
obviously takes place in 2020.
Indiana Jones and the Pandemic of Doom.
Yeah, it might be.
We could do better if we had more time.
Oh, I feel like I just keep having to talk Harrison Ford
into these
taking
old
the
roles.
Gun out of his mouth.
Yeah. I think he's kind of finally like embraced his own legacy.
Harrison Ford means he's finally broken. Then,
yeah. Well, I mean, he crash lands a plane like every couple of months. You know, so
he does need more than beer money. That could be true.
Yeah. A couple million dollars, all the weed you can smoke. You want to throw on the hat one more time before you kick it and pass it along to somebody else.
Sure, this is my impression of Harrison Ford. No. I don't.
Make it.
I've been very clear.
Double it. $1 million a day.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll give you Bruce Willis money to be in this flick.
Yeah.
Well, regardless of that, they're still going to make it. Even if he drops dead on the first day of shooting, we're going to get this part five, for better or worse.
And it's not directed by Spielberg. And this one's going to be a Mangold joint.
James Mangold, who I know directed one of your favorite superhero movies ever.
Are you talking about Chris Kattan with Kazam. Big ears is directing this?
What? Chris Kattan?
Chris Kattan?
No.
Mango?
You're not saying Mango.
Your description of Mango, Chris Kattan with big ears.
I do enjoy Mango, but Mangold is
much better. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I like that guy. So, yes, there is a new Indiana Jones movie where I am looking forward to it. I'm one of the few that likes Crystal Skull, so I don't think they can go wrong. But look, I can see why everyone's a little weird, because Raiders of the Lost Ark is the quintessential adventure.
A touchstone.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole trilogy is amazing, but it probably only works because you've got Raiders of the Lost Ark sitting there.
Yeah.
Setting the pace for it. And it's an incredible... I know there's... Let's just address this right away. Because all the nerds out there, thanks to Big Bang Theory, like to say,
I know where you're going with this.
Indy didn't do anything. But that's not what it's about.
I think actually...
It's a movie about Indiana Jones, not the actual Lost Ark.
I actually do think that he is a witness to the greatest things in history, the greatest moments in history. And it works because he doesn't leave his mark. So that means that all these events that we've been reading about in our history books, Indiana Jones might as well have been there.
Yeah.
Because there's no record of him.
Those are my favorite
there.
Kind of stories.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes or in the cracks and crevices or in between the lines.
Like the Forrest Gump, right? He was, he was there. He was there and he was.
That's how the first movie started. Right, the Lost Raiders of the Lost, like they're like, run, Indy, run.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. We don't know.
Thanks for being patient. Thanks for waiting on that one.
I'm not sure if that landed. But it's okay. We have a great, great, great conversation ahead of us. Right, Jimmy the Gent?
Guaranteed.
You're going to get your shit together, right, Mr. Reference?
Oh, that's hilarious. So, yeah, I actually think that it actually works best because he doesn't affect the outcome of the history that we know. So I think it's actually kind of a brilliant move. And I put my faith in Lucas. I put my faith in Spielberg that's what they intended to do.
And I also think it also straddles the other end of the probably extreme nerd continuum where they say Indiana Jones is an archaeologist. He should be an archaeologist. Well, then that means he isn't affecting anything whatsoever.
Right.
So I think he's right down the line there. And artistically, the movie's about him. Like, at first, he's running away from a boulder, stealing. He's stealing. He knows he's stealing this golden idol. Whatever argument you have about museums aside.
It belongs in a museum.
He's stealing it from people who are clearly saying, hey, you're stealing from us. We're so serious, we're going to try and kill you to get it back.
Do you mean the Jovitos?
I'm afraid to agree with you.
They speak the language of blow darts.
This means something in Jovitos. Yeah.
But if you remember, by the end of it, the very last shot is Indiana Jones pissed off. The government has taken the Ark and just buried it away.
Buried it.
Have no idea what they're doing. Yeah. And he and Marion meet on the steps, and he just looks with disgust at this the government building. He's like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I'm done with it. I'm not chasing fortune and glory or fame. This is, I believe in something now. Mm-hmm. That's a character arc. That's what a movie's for.
I know. I think it's perfect. You know, that's, I've, although.
So there are no detractors in this room.
I do, when I watched that episode, I do remember like it like hitting me that.
When you watch what episode?
The episode of the Big Bang Theory. Like where that plot hole was kind of brought up. And for those of you that are a little in the dark about this, there is a episode where Amy Farrah Fowler, who is Sheldon's kind of girlfriend, they finally get her to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then she ends up not liking it like everybody else, like the geeks. And she's like, well, and they're like, why? And they're like, well, because Indiana Jones wasn't necessary. If he's not in the movie, everything still happens.
Did they break up?
No, they ended up getting married. Exactly.
I've never seen, I hate this woman.
I know, right. Everybody hates this woman because she brought this up. And it's kind of true. Like,
if the movie was a documentary about the Lost Ark, then yeah, you probably shouldn't have so much Indiana Jones in it. Yeah. But it's a movie about Indiana Jones.
Exactly.
Shut they, up, Big
If it wasn't for Indy, they would have never found the Ark. It'd still be buried.
No, it actually would have been, because then they would have had the actual medallion. You know, he actually got in the way of them getting the medallion.
From Marion in the first place?
Yeah, so, like, anyway, it actually...
Plus, Belloc had it, like, basically on his hand.
But that was only half.
That's why they couldn't find it. The hole
or whatever.
No, but...
Oh, yeah, that's true for the court. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, because they ended up having to take off two...
You had to add one for God, though. Right? Am I right? Is that what it was?
Or something like that, right.
Two for the little baby Jesus.
Yeah, for Christmas, little baby Jesus is in the cradle.
Something lame.
So, yeah, so that was the actual argument that was brought up in that particular episode. And at the time, when I watched that live, you know, on broadcast television, if you guys can take you back in the old days, I do remember...
he called out sick to work so he could stay home.
This is pre-pandemic.
Right. I was just as shocked as the characters in that episode because I had never thought of that. And I was like, God damn it, you're right. And I got angry. But then I was just like, wait, he's a witness to history. He sees it and then he collects it. He doesn't change history. And all of his movies, they don't go anywhere. You know, if you go into Temple of Doom, the stones were supposed to be at this village. Then they weren't, and then they were again.
He did bring them back.
He did
also bring them back. Instead of taking. Also, though,
he didn't profit off of them.
If you know your Indiana Jones timeline, that happens before Raiders of the Lost Ark. So he hasn't learned this lesson about, you know,
fortune and glory.
It's for something higher than is better than us.
That's right.
So he is still that immature Indy there.
Uh-huh. And then if you go to the Last Crusade, as we all know. You know, they find the chalice, the what do you call it? The
cup.
The 64 cup. Ounce Mega Buster.
Yeah.
The venti.
And then it ends up falling right back. It goes right back into the pit. So,
yes. It's what the kids call a grail fail.
It's a big grail fail. God, we're just going to keep coming with these, aren't we?
Hold on. Let them laugh at home for a minute.
Let it sit.
Hashtag grail fail. All right, let's continue now that that's out there.
Well, I forgot where I was going with this.
Good.
That joke you did not choose.
Oh,
you chose
yeah.
poorly, Dan.
I actually do. See, here they are. They just keep coming. So I think I've told this story before, but when I was given a book report assignment, I was very clever that I would get novelizations of movies that I had watched. I would read the books.
Marquis, the only one who cracked the code. Yeah.
Spoilers, all you teachers out there in New Mexico.
I would read them, but they were always about movies that I'd already watched. And
my name is Marquis. Here is my report on T2 Judgment Day.
On Caddyshack.
I like this book.
And the Indiana Jones novelization. I'm sorry, the Raiders of the Lost Ark novelization. And if you guys notice at the end of the movie, you actually just brought this up. He's pissed off at the government. Mm-hmm. They just took the Ark away. He doesn't know where
Top
it is.
Men.
Yes. But if you'll notice, when he puts the hat on and they go away and they walk down the steps, that's not the brown fedora. Because the brown fedora is lost. There is a continuity error. Not from Raiders of the Lost Ark to Temple of Doom, because that was before.
Yeah.
But to Last Crusade, he has his fedora, the same brown fedora. But no, that was actually lost. And I remember that because in the novelization, he actually talks about how when he's on the steps, he's upset and he mentions it to Miriam. He says, "And I lost my hat." Now, if you guys watch the movie again,
they must have just cut that line out.
But he actually puts on like a black hat. It's not the brown fedora. Yeah.
And they probably filmed that line if it was in the novelization.
Yeah.
A lot of those just go off like an early version of the script.
Right.
So he probably did say that. At some point, Stephen, or if you can believe Marquis, George
Lucas,
had the foresight to say, let's not make that canon.
Yeah, let's take that out. And for those of you that are interested in the rules of novelizations of movies, this is the rule. because of the time and place when and where they are written, when a discrepancy arises, you default to the film. Ugh. So you have to think of a novelization of a movie as a adaptation of canonical events.
Which are not in themselves canonical.
Correct.
All right. And so everybody write that down. There's an exam at the end of the show.
That's it. That's the rule. And my sources at Lucasfilm have given me that.
Mm. Well, before we take a break, and I promise we will take a break, let's go around and real quickly say when we first saw this movie. Because it's 40 years.
Yeah.
This is a big one. And maybe I'm jumping to conclusions, but I bet we all saw it in the theater. Because this was, it was hard to even rent movies when this came out. So I'm going to go around the room randomly. Jimmy the Gent.
I saw it opening weekend at a drive-in, but where I spent most of my youth.
How old were you?
I would have been, so 81, I would have been in the ninth grade, so about 14, about as old as my kid is right now.
Okay.
And it just blew my, it was the first movie that was just so action-packed. Like every, they based it on the serial, so basically every 10 or 15 minutes, there's an action set piece. And the story, as we've discussed a little bit, Indy's interaction is negligible, right? It's just all action, 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 and he's the device that leads us through all these set pieces. So that wasn't my analysis at 14, but at 14 it blew me away. We couldn't wait to see it again. I remember like my dad was upset because we had two drive-ins in our city that we grew up in. And I'm sure I've mentioned this ad nauseum on the show. He was a cop in the city, so we got in for free. So on his nights off...
Cops don't pay for anything.
True.
Ever.
That's another episode, but we got into the drive-in for free. So that was kind of a big deal for us and our family. And he was pissed off that we had to drive off to another city to go to a different drive-in to see it. And he had to pay for everybody to go see it. So.
Because neither of the one in your town were betting on this new franchise, apparently.
Right. As I recall, it was kind of lower in the ratings the first couple weeks, or maybe number one the first week that it dipped down. And then a couple weeks later, it shot back up to number one and stayed there for a while.
What was it? I wonder, I don't want to do a Wikipedia or Google reading or anything right now, but I wonder, I feel like maybe it was up against Flash Gordon.
I think Flash Gordon was 81. I want to say what came out that weekend without looking. That's tough. Yeah. Ghost with Whoopi Goldberg.
No, I think that was 91.
Ghostbusters, maybe.
No, that was 84.
Nope, that would have been 80. Yeah, that would have been later.
81. Well, I know.
The Thing.
The Thing. Maybe it feels like they wouldn't be stealing much audience.
I think we should just be Googling this.
I think that we overpay.
You know what?
We're overpaying.
After the break, maybe we'll come back at with
definitely
some
overpaying
ammunition.
The research team.
We're only giving them middle school credit. It's not much. Yeah. All right, Marky, your memory when you first saw it.
Right.
If you remember the very first time.
Well, I do have a vision of watching it. I don't know if this was the first time, but it's very, I do have a memory of watching this movie. And again, I don't know if it's the first time. And so, I was 4 years old. I was four and a half this time, 40 years ago. So I clearly was not in the movie theater to see this, but, so I was probably 5, maybe 6 years old. So it might have been a couple years later. And we had cable. My family paid for basic cable, and then we stole HBO. Like, we had the little filter on the back, so we had HBO. The cable's not listening to this. The big cable people. I mean, I don't.
What is it, officer? We're looking for Marcus Guardia.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay.
We're from the CVA, Cable Variant Agency.
All right. But I do remember, like, this...
Fresh references.
This just, like, in the peak of cable TV, of premium cable TV, Raiders of the Lost Ark was at the pinnacle of that. I think they were at the... Like, when home video was shooting up and when HBO was kind of getting crazy... And I remember early mornings before school,
watching Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark before school? Yes, that seems like, so decadent, I mean, like, to young me.
I mean, like, it was on like at 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning kind of stuff. And I was always getting up early. And I remember watching Raiders of the Lost Ark before school. And I remember it being cold outside. It was kind of in the winter. You know, I just, that's my memory of watching this movie. And also very specifically, and this is why I kind of remember it being cold. I remember the scene where they're in Marion's bar when they're in the Himalaya Mountains where
it looked like somewhere in Nepal somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's Nepal. And, you know, like all the fire and like the hot poker and everything like that. And I remember that like warmth in the cold, you know, like environment. So I have a very, very vivid memory of watching that movie over and over and over again, like in this very specific way, in this very specific condition. And
And you would say it was probably around when you were 5 or 6.
Yeah. And then so...
Before kindergarten, you'd see Indiana Jones.
That summer, so after this particular winter, on my mom's side, they're from Mexico, like very, very deep in Mexico. And we would spend like a month down there every single summer. And we got down there and at my grandfather's house or something, I found what looked like a fedora. It wasn't, but it was like a brown, I think it might have been leather hat. And I wore that damn thing for about a month. There's a picture of me pointing a toy gun when I was about 5 or 6 wearing that hat. And we had horses and everything. Like, I was Indiana Jones for a summer.
It was dark. It was dark out. Looked real enough.
It was awesome. It was so bad.
Die Hard reference. I got it.
And I played with my grandfather's machete, which he ended up giving to me, and I still have to this day.
I didn't want his prints on it.
We got to play with machetes when I was 6 years old.
Yeah, how many bodies is that?
This explains so much to me of why then you went on to go to business school. Mystery solved.
But yeah, so anyway, yeah, this is a very important, like, as far as pop culture touchstones, probably number two. Yep. Solid number two. Yep.
Nobody who's been in this country for at least 20 years is going to argue with that.
Yeah.
You ask? Where did I first see it?
I'd like to know.
Dan, well, where did you first see it?
It was actually in the theater, and I was, as you say, about 4 and a half. And it was the first movie. I don't know if it was the first. My mom tells me the first movie I ever saw was Star Wars in the drive-in as basically, you know, a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
But the first movie I remember seeing that I have a memory of in the theater was Raiders of the Lost Ark. Specifically, I remember the scene where he has to crawl underneath the moving truck.
Oh, the best.
And, you know, like keeps getting punched and punched and then ends up getting pushed under the truck and then crawls underneath it. And I remember my mother next to me just like grabbing my hand or something and going, how can a human being do that? And I remember that specifically because I didn't know what a human being was.
So like, were you thinking of Little Pinto Beans?
Perhaps, no, could have been years that I assumed Indiana Jones was both an archaeologist, a teacher.
And a human being.
And a human being.
Which you didn't
know. And I was on the lookout for more human beings. And I hadn't figured that group out. But I specifically remember that. And then as I got a little older and could understand movies better and the sequels came out, God, I fell in love with that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the rides at Disneyland even. Not that I got to go to Disneyland a lot, but if I did, I would definitely fast pass Indiana Jones first.
Yeah.
Bought the VHSs. I bought the DVDs. Mm-hmm. I've bought whips. I've bought fedoras. It's probably as far as it went. I didn't finish college. I have no real interest in archaeology.
Uh-huh.
I'm too old for Fortune and Glory, but I still love the movies. I'll even rewatch Kingdom of the Crystal Skull someday.
Back to my trip to Mexico.
I was worried we weren't done there. All right, go on.
I do remember because of the Indiana Jones phase, like all those little mercados, like where you would buy the little Mexican wrestler toys and stuff like that, and the little
Oh, yeah, they had the $20 bullwhips down there.
Yeah, I remember that too. So just to round out my Indiana Jones role, the cosplay when I was a kid, I did have a whip that I got to walk around with. So just, I mean, I live in life.
Yeah. Jimmy, where's your whip?
I had a whip at the time.
Now you don't?
Now I don't. Wait,
did you have it before the movie?
My brother and I, we lived back then. We had a forest or the woods behind us, right, over our big fence in our backyard. So him and I would go with our home fashioned whips, and we didn't have hats, but we both had whips, and we'd have our toy guns. He's 2 years younger than me, and he made like a satchel, right, that he would have his whip in and stuff. And we'd go out there and climb the trees and try to whip from tree to tree. And one time he whipped and he's swinging, and of course the branch broke mid swing.
Wait, the branch broke?
Not the believe it or not.
I cannot believe he made it to the branch breaking.
Oh, no.
Good for him.
He was, you know, for 0.6 seconds, he was Indiana Jones. Like, he whipped it out. Dun, 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 I've got dun, this, bro. Dun, 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 dun. I had to go run and get my mom. It was a whole big deal.
Just like Indiana Jones. Just,
yes. This Indiana Jones was consequential to the story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
All right. Well, listeners, what are your memories? Where did you see it? Go ahead. Keep talking. We can't hear you. We don't care. And in the meantime,
smash that like button, hit subscribe, leave your comments, what you did like.
Yeah, or not. I'm gonna take the hard sell approach. Don't like us.
Yeah.
Hashtag we don't need you.
You don't like us. We don't like you.
But if you're intrigued, stick around. It's going to be a short break. And we're going to try and figure out what at least Indiana Jones went up against where it couldn't be number one out of the gate.
Evil.
We'll be back to you soon enough.
Meanwhile, for nearly 3,000 years, man has searched for the lost Ark of the Covenant.
The Bible speaks of the Ark leveling mountains and laying waste to entire regions.
Not something to be taken lightly. No one knows its secrets.
Jones, do you realize what the Ark is? It's a transmitter. It's a radio for speaking to God.
An army which carries the Ark before it is invincible.
The Ark, if it is their Atanis, then it is something that man was not meant to disturb.
It is protected by forces beyond imagination. It is desired above all treasures on Earth by those who are good,
trust me,
and those who are evil.
I tell you everything.
Yes, I know you will.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Let her go.
No time if you still want the Ark. It has been loaded onto a truck for Cairo.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. A film from Steven Spielberg and George Lucas.
Let me just say, the guy that wrote that jingle was not working too
hard. Some things just write themselves. Boom, boom, boom.
And anything there?
Electrical gremlins.
Sorry, what donuts, are they called again?
50s all music. Right. And what anything are they? There?
All right, I can work with it.
Cereal, but it's just donuts.
Give me a go. C, a bouncy C. Follow me for the, watch me for the changes.
And try to keep up.
But we were talking about Indiana Jones.
Oh, nice segue.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that's why we pay the big bucks.
That's right. I hope I get all
King
of it
of the
today.
Segues.
I took a little time during the break there.
Okay.
To find out what else was competing with Indiana Jones, if not directly that week or that summer, sometime that year. But the big winners, essentially, I've got from the year 1981. Are you ready for this? Now, IMDb is going to tell you Indiana Jones was the number one movie that year.
It
rightly
was.
So.
Okay.
Probably by several metrics. It sure is in my heart.
Mm.
Now, it also starts listening. We're not going to get again into the reasoning behind the order, but some of the other big ones are, in no particular order, let's say Body Heat.
Okay.
William Hurt, Kathleen Turner, mm-hmm. Steamy erotic thriller. Needless to say, I was not allowed in the theater at 4.5 to see that. American Werewolf in London.
Ooh, good movie.
A cult classic. Yeah, certainly nowhere near
John
Indiana
Landis.
Jones kind of stature, but it did get its own sequel eventually.
Okay.
You got The Evil Dead.
Now got
talk
you
about
have that.
Sequels. Yep. Evil Dead. Yep. Now that's a granddaddy in its own mm-hmm. genre.
Sam Raimi.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that one's pretty important on its own, but it did not. It's just not a big enough.
That's
draw,
a cult
especially
movie.
In the early 80s.
Absolutely.
Then you got Rocky, or I mean Porky's.
Oh, Rocky. No, Porky's. Okay.
Yeah, I don't believe there was a Rocky that year. I was expecting there to be like Rocky 2,
but Porky's might be other than
Rocky
3,
but.
Other than maybe the occasional Makita Tools Calendar Girl, Porky's was probably my first nude woman that I saw on a screen of any kind.
Oh.
Might have been. I'm pretty sure it was. It must have been.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
And yeah.
It says a lot about you, too.
It also says a lot about the parenting that was around.
Yeah.
You weren't allowed to go see Raiders of the Lost Ark, but your parents did take you to Porky's, noted
no,
in the report.
No,
another one they probably did take you to, Escape from New York. Again, important,
yep.
Cinematic, especially important to our generation as we saw it on VHS. I sure didn't see it.
It would take me to see, I would see that in high school. But yeah, that's a good
one.
Now,
one maybe they did take you to, even though at our age they probably shouldn't have, Excalibur.
Nope, never saw it. That's the Disney one? The cartoon?
No, I think
no.
It was
this Patrick Stewart was in it, and young Helen Mirren was in it.
Never
and
seen it.
They everybody wore real armor. It was a modern, for the 80s, a modern retelling of King Arthur.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right, I never seen it.
Well,
go on.
All right, that out too. Let's see what else. Well, we've got one of my very favorites. The Road Warrior.
Oh, yeah.
But again, very niche, a cult classic. It certainly found its footing even later, even though it did pretty good numbers.
I saw that
then. For an Australian import, too.
Yeah. I saw that then. So I kind of lived through the Road Warrior time.
And speaking also of foreign imports that kind of sit in our cultural landscape, I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but I sat through it once, Das Boot.
Oh, yep, I saw it in high school. No, no, I saw it in college, but yeah, I've seen it.
Was it a part of college?
I think
like a film class.
I
or a
think
history
it was at your
or...
house.
Oh, it might. Oh, good.
Yeah.
So we shared the rental.
Yeah, I think so.
Well worth it. Made it even easier for three VHS tapes and one
uh-huh,
rental.
Uh-huh.
And finally, it's worth mentioning also another movie that came out that year, Stripes.
Okay. Well, Stripes I've seen many times.
Yes.
Yes.
Stripes is definitely that was a big mainstream hit. That was definitely. A summer movie, I would assume, and is definitely one that is beyond.
Sean Young is in that. I remember that.
A niche or cult. So probably if Indiana Jones wasn't able to score number one in its slot week to week or immediately, I bet because Stripes was sitting there.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they battled.
Guess.
But...
I don't know for sure. Jimmy, do you have answers or are you watching porn on yours?
Well, what I have is, it opened number one. A week ahead of Clash of the Titans.
Oh, I remember that.
Clash of the Titans.
God, I saw that many times, too.
And then the second week, History of the World, Part 1 came out, and Superman 2, so it tumbled a little bit to number 3 by the second week.
Superman 2, that's a big one.
That's a pretty
important. How was that on the whatever list you're looking at? Throw away.
I was still getting a Scanner.
Buckle up, because it also went against Cannonball Run, which was missed. That's why I felt I had to get on this list.
That's a good one.
That's a good list. But this is the 4th week, and Raiders started to climb back up. By 6th week, it was in the number 1 position again.
Okay.
Earning $64 million, which for the time is, I guess, a lot.
So it had, as the executives say,
so that
legs.
Week, so that, well, legs. As they say, Clash of the Titans, History of the World Part 1, Cannonball Run, and Superman 2 is what it fought its first opening weekend.
Wow. I was actually going to say when we went to Shay's list that that wasn't a very good year for movies. But then when we got to the truth, it actually was a pretty good year.
Well,
for
you
movies.
Seen the these were mostly the summer movies, right?
Yeah,
because it was June 12th. So,
all right, yeah, I think the list I was onto was somehow was popularity
some kind of critical...
or Metacritic for the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
I actually tried to sort it by release date, and then it gave me like 1,700 selections. So I said, you know what, the good people don't need to hear this.
So let's stop talking about it then.
All right, I'm done.
But no, I think the actual takeaway here is that this was a movie that came out
had legs.
Yeah, and it did really well.
It had legs. It knew how to use them. It could take all
comers. I think
it was
in theater for like a year too. Right,
it took
like
a beating, 40. But kept on.
Spawned a franchise, like we mentioned, rides at Disneyland at almost every Disneyland park, I think. Unless we're doing
a
Disney episode,
it was also one of the first. I think it was one of the first to go to VHS for like an affordable price.
Right, I was going to mention that. Yeah. It was one of the first ones back then when VHSs and, and VHS tapes came out. It would be like if you
like
wanted 30 to buy
bucks or something.
Well, no, if you wanted to buy the movie, most places you had to rent it. If you wanted to buy it, it was like $100+.
Yeah,
in 1980-81 money, that's.
Yeah,
I don't know what $300 now.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. So could you imagine
that's
going and having to pay $300 for a DVD? So mostly you just rented them. However, the fine folks at Disney had the idea to make it a lower price. I want to say, like you said, $30 or $40, so everybody could afford to buy. Which again, in today's money, is still probably $100+.
Yeah,
but it was if you sat
more affordable
next to it, and did they like? Is that one of the ones they would play with, just putting in the vault?
No,
because I think the first time
not that
I
one, but
bought them on
that
VHS
was only Disney
was right
movies
before
that was only Disney movies that they would do that. They would release them for like 6 months, and everyone would like race to go get it. And they're like, oh, "We're putting it in the vault. You better get it now. You better get it now." And then it would come back in 3 years.
It's great market, great market.
Yeah, it was good.
And now we have Disney Plus. Do you guys feel like we live in the vault?
Yeah, I think.
When is that done? Have they broken their vault?
They just left
thing
the vault
by
open,
doing it.
Yep.
I wonder how hard that decision was for him. I know it's off topic.
That's a whole other
answer
episode.
Me.
Yeah,
they're getting $50 or $70 a year from everybody now, so I think they're fine. Yeah, that's a lot of money.
I guess so. I guess Well, what else do they own? I mean,
Star Wars. Maybe a little Diddy.
Yeah,
maybe
I was
going to
think
Star
like
Wars universe,
like the Indiana Jones franchise.
Don't forget
is,
about the Muppets
and the. The Muppets actually probably has bigger earnings across its lifetime than
careful.
Indiana Jones.
Careful. Tread lightly, Dr. Jones.
But
are you asking
really?
Who? Because famously, they integrated the Paramount Mountain at the beginning of every Indiana Jones movie.
That's true.
Right. But it is owned by Lucasfilm, which is owned
by Disney.
Yeah. And I have copy in front of me.
Wait a minute. What do you mean copy in front of you?
I have copy in front of me because we
describe
are...
Describe unto me exactly what you're speaking of here, sir.
We are celebrating the 40th anniversary.
Is this a bundle of Indiana Jones movies? Damn it, Marky. This belongs in a museum.
This is a celebration of the 40th anniversary of Raiders of the Lost Ark with all four Indiana Jones movie adventures on 4K Ultra HD for the very first time. Hollywood, California, March 15th, 2021. Relive the unforgettable exploits of world-renowned globe-trotting hero Indiana Jones in spectacular 4K Ultra HD when the Indiana Jones 4 movie collection arrives in a new 4K Ultra HD set June 8th. That's today, 2021, from Lucasfilm Ltd. And Paramount Home Entertainment that answers that question. The cinematic classic that started it all, Raiders of the Lost Ark, celebrates its 40th anniversary this year, having first introduced audiences to the man with the hat on June 12, 1981. 40 years later, the legendary hero continues to captivate new generations of fans. Now, for the first time ever, all four films are available together in 4K Ultra HD with Dolby Vision and HDR10 for ultra vivid picture quality and state-of-the-art Dolby Atmos audio. Each film has been meticulously remastered from 4K scans of the original negatives with extensive visual effects work done to ensure the most pristine and highest quality image. All picture work was approved by director Steven Spielberg. The Indiana Jones movie. Our movie collection includes a collectible booklet, behind-the-scenes images from all four films. Each film is presented in 4K Ultra HD, Blu-ray Classic, original theatrical. It comes with a map, everybody.
It comes with a map?
We're paying
this map.
We're paying the editor too much.
There's a lot there. But yeah.
Thank you.
So, yes, we will be giving away this four-movie collection.
Marky, bottom line.
Yeah?
Four movies. Special DVD.
Special, yes.
4K Ultra. So you're going to need a player.
A player.
An ultra high def player.
And a high def TV.
An ultra high def TV.
Yep. Well, you won't need one, but if you want all the Ks.
If you want to watch these.
You better have a TV that can handle all the Ks.
We're not even talking 5K.
Well, I don't know if you guys heard the copy read. I can do it again. But
maybe you didn't hear my music. I could do that again.
So, all original sound elements were used to achieve a fully immersive Dolby Atmos mixes while staying true to each film's original creative. In addition, all four films were remixed at Skywalker Sound under the supervision of legendary sound designer Ben Burtt, Academy Award winner, by the way. So
that is awesome. Not at all what we were asking about, but that's awesome.
These guys went in, got the original audio tracks. Ben Burtt, the Oscar-winning sound designer, redid it again.
Didn't have to.
Yeah, it's amazing.
They asked him not to.
He's
like, no, it's time. And he just ran into a dark hole with all the original masters. And what you've got now is still one of the best sounding movies, I would assume. Just sounds better. It's got 4Ks of sound.
Can we talk about the punch sound? I'm going to do my best impression. Ready?
Let's see. Let's talk about favorite memories from the movie. Okay, what are your favorite thing about the movie?
The sound of the punch in Indiana Jones, which I'm going to do my best. Here we go. Yeah. Ready?
That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
It's kind of, I don't know.
A little sharp, but that's probably three pounds equipment.
It's still a little sharp.
Let's say you're fighting a big bald Nazi that outweighs you by 80 pounds. How many straight shots to the jaw are you going to take without that sound effect?
Funny story. That sound effect. In fact, I have a couple of funny stories about the sound effects there.
Oh, I know what you're going
to
say.
Because I read an article about this years ago, and if this article is to be believed, the sound effect of the iconic Indiana Jones punch, which they have used more than the damn Wilhelm scream at this point, is actually a leather jacket being slapped on the hood of a 1977 Honda Civic.
What?
And the sound of the boulder rolling down the hill after Indy is the sound apparently of that same Honda Civic, 1977 Honda Civic wagon, with its wheels locked up, rolling down a gravel hill.
Okay,
I happen to have owned a 1977 Honda Civic station wagon. And just in case you doubt my claim so far, here's Mr. Ben Burtt from the DVD extras to tell you I'm telling the truth.
We had several different sessions where we went out and tried to stage a boulder sound, and they were not successful. But on one of the last days, we were coming back from the location, and we were on a steep hill, and we were in this little Honda Civic station wagon on a gravel road on this mountain, and we were just coasting down the hill without the motor running, and we realized the car sounded really interesting. Well, we might have the sound here. So I hung out the back and put a microphone near the back tire of the station wagon, and we just coasted down this road, and as the car accelerated, it gave a sense of gathering speed, and that ended up being really the basis for the giant boulder.
And you
actually told me that you used to go smoke weed up in the West Mesa and you would leave your car off and you would roll it down and it sounded like the boulder.
Oh, you're talking about on the hill coming out. I did do that.
Yeah.
Number two, I could never really do it with the wheels locked up.
Yeah.
But it was kind of gravelly. You get a little bit. And you know what? If you were high enough, it sure sounded like it.
I love that. That's so amazing. So you actually had the exact same car that they used to make two Indiana Jones effects on?
That's apparently so. Might have been the very same car. I wasn't cognizant much around 1979, 1980 when they would have been recording it. Maybe they used my car for it. It's hard to say. So that's the story. That's the story of the car.
I think I nailed it. And you must have told me this story 20 years ago now. But it's something that's always stuck in my head because it's kind of like I had a connection with Indiana Jones.
Yep. Yeah, that's 4 degrees of George Lucas right there.
Yeah, there you go.
Jimmy, awesome. It's only 5 for you if you attach yourself to Mark instead of me. You want 4? You sit in my camp. Long anyway.
So that was your memory, was rolling down the
hill. Memory is, let's just say my memory is very special between me and that special someone. And we'll leave it at that.
I think you having the same Civic rolling it down the hill is pretty damn cool. Yeah.
Jimmy.
I'm gonna give you credit for that.
Jimmy, what's your memory?
Favorite memory.
Memory of Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost
Raiders,
Ark.
Yeah, the first one. Yeah, okay. So I mentioned we saw it watching it with my dad. He complained that he had to pay for us to go see it at another drive-in, right? And so that was fun. But that would have been the weekend that we saw it. Went to school on Monday, and my acting/stagecraft teacher, where you build the sets and everything for the plays.
Kids who didn't get cast in roles. Gotcha.
Right.
Coming in, girl.
I'm going to need a minute. Anyway.
I remember stagecraft.
That teacher... He was going off about Indiana Jones and just broke the whatever the lesson plan was for that day, and we just talked about that movie. If you didn't see it, tough shit. He spoiled it everything for you, and I remember him talking about how he thought they played the last reel first. He'd never seen this movie that there was so much action. This was the first one that had one of the first ones that had so much action front loaded
out of the gate,
front loaded to the story, right? Yeah. Yeah, and I just remember him, James Krapko was his name. I remember him so vividly talking about it, like, I just remember they had the wrong reel. Yeah, that's probably my biggest memory.
Oh, man, one not even from the movie itself, the cultural impact. I wish I'd been older than 4 and a half so I could have measured it better.
It was ubiquitous for me. So I was 10 years older. Yeah. Right.
Well, mine is clearly that, you know, that one summer that I was in Mexico and I was basically Indiana Jones. I mean, that's huge for me. Even though it wasn't about the movie specifically, but I just kind of became him for a summer. That's my imagination was just completely all about Indiana Jones.
Yep.
And when Temple of Doom came out.
That's the magic of this little, this giant con community.
I think when frickin'.
You were feeling it early.
I was feeling it early. And when.
Fandom is healthy.
When Temple of Doom comes out and it's just such a weird movie, which I just loved it. I love Temple of Doom too.
Yeah.
Right. And I loved how weird it was and the chilled monkey brains, you know, like that bit is so good.
Monkey brains.
And like kids get killed. Kids get whipped. Yeah. Kids are slaves. Like is a dark movie. And it's so
monkeys'
good.
Brains are eaten alive.
Freaking Kali Ma, and he's going to rip the heart out.
Wow. Kali Ma,
Chotide.
That one, interestingly enough, I did not even know existed until it was available for rent. Yeah. Probably a while after. I think my parents intentionally thought, we made a mistake taking Dan.
I'm
taking little Dan to the one 2 years ago. Let's not even mention the sequel.
Well, and I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that my first Indiana Jones movie was The Last Crusade, right? Because I don't think I saw Temple of Doom in the theater. I think that was another HBO, you know, experience.
Temple of Doom, as again mentioned ad nauseum in this podcast, is that this time I'm working at the drive-in now. And that was the summer where I was working there. So I saw that movie twice a night, 4 nights a week, and then would probably come on my night off and watch it. Like that, that movie is part of my DNA.
Yeah.
The whole, all the, well, as it's been recently pointed out, my short round imitations are slightly racist, so I won't do it for the listeners.
Everybody's yeah. are, yeah.
It
but,
did seem,
but I nail it.
It did seem more indulgent of like some of the, those adventure serial mm-hmm. things with the, because I mean, the great thing about Marion is she's not a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
Well, she's like a partner for Andy.
She can handle
it. And then
all.
You get yeah. to, you know, Kate Capshaw.
Kate Capshaw.
Who is just trying, the character's written that she is an incredible damsel in distress.
The exact opposite.
Whose biggest overcoming of, I think, first she has to reach in and deal with Bugs and that little lever, and then she kills somebody later, I think. I can't quite remember what, but she was no Marion.
No,
first
she was
first,
so
she's
much
worried,
more stereotypical.
First,
she
she's
grew,
worried
but...
Indiana's going to stab her dress and ruin her fancy
yeah.
dress,
which he actually does yeah. poke through it. Yeah. And then yeah. the third
and she's
woman,
she's also the white American woman who's the head of a Asian nightclub act
yeah.
in China.
Yeah,
right or Hong well, Kong? Where does it start?
That's China because it was
I think she was
yeah.
just the
yeah.
star
yeah.
of
mainland
the show.
China.
She wasn't
yeah.
in charge of anything.
Well, that yeah, not in charge, but the star of the show.
Yeah.
Where they're not even singing in English, but the...
Well, but then... But listen, like...
I'm not
I mean,
trying
can you
to
imagine
say, hey,
what it,
let's cancel the whole movie.
Can you imagine the marquee out in front of Club Obi-Wan where it says...
That's right, I forgot that.
Blonde lady sings in Mandarin.
Well, but just... I mean, it actually does get worse. In the third movie, it's a Nazi woman.
Well, yeah, but Nazis, you can do anything
yeah.
you want to.
You
yeah, can even chuck them down a cliff, I mean, at the end.
It's all they, downhill from
they
Marion.
They never
though.
Killed a woman in Indiana Jones till they lost her.
I think it's just funny to me that like
she,
it's all downhill
she
from Marion.
She kind of brought that on herself.
Well, I think that was a point. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she was a villain.
The point was yeah. women. Am I right?
Am I right? Nazi am I right, women, fellas? Right? Am I right?
Oh. Am I right, fellas?
Oh, yeah, for yeah. all the Elses out there.
Yeah.
It was during lockdown, a few of us rented out a whole AMC theater and we got to see Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Shay, you were there.
I sure was. And
what
that
are your
was
thoughts?
So
on that?
Fun.
So fun.
It's an adventure movie. And when you yeah. watch it, when you're older, especially if you're not watching it for the first time, I bet with a bunch of Uber fans
yeah.
sitting right next to you, judging your reaction. You know, I would hate to be in a position where I'd never seen it. Now.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So being able to go back to the theaters, knowing what I'm getting and watching it. I mean, I noticed all the little weird stuff that I didn't see as a kid, but it didn't bother me. And what I forgot was how damn fast it moves.
So fast. Yeah, I agree. It's so well paced.
They don't make a lot of movies like that anymore.
I don't think so either. That's actually like, you know, the first time I've ever seen this movie in a theater in almost 30 something years now. Right. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I'm like noticing is just how much it looks like a movie.
Mm.
It's not trying to be realistic at all. The way that it's staged and framed and everything. Mm. It could be a comic book come to life. Like it's so fake is a harsh word to use because it doesn't sound
stylized.
Very artistic. Yeah. It's so stylized. Like every frame is so perfect and meticulous, but it's a movie. You're looking at a
but
movie.
It's also nowhere like the, when it just got out of control too much with like the Peter Jackson
yeah, yeah.
Hobbit stuff.
Right.
Where it looked,
it looks real.
So perfect in stage
right.
it that
it
looked
real.
Like I was sitting on the set watching a make
yes,
it
yes.
kind of thing. This felt like I was like, that's a movie set, but they painted it up pretty
right.
for
it's
me.
Not Shakespeare in the Park that you're watching. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is a movie. It's framed like a movie. It's square like a movie. It's
and
not panoramic.
And everything is dialed up. Yep. Like, usually when a director would say, all right, there should probably be like four or five students in his office all trying to get his attention. They said, you know what? Pack it so full of kids, it looks like a disaster scene.
Yeah, and he has to escape.
Where
out
he
window.
Literally has to jump out of a window.
Yeah.
Why not? We'll be out with that. We also did, incidentally, the Back to the Future.
Uh-huh, we did that too, yeah.
viewing, all of us with and that was another fun one where just forgot how fast that is. Mm-hmm. He goes from meeting his parents as teenagers to them kissing in like 25 minutes.
It felt like 25 minutes. Yeah.
I mean, and it was I forgot that movies could just, mm-hmm. that's how you could do a 90 minute movie and then make me watch it 20 times.
Well, and when we're watching those two particular movies that I have seen 20 times minimum each. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you guys had this in the cities that you guys were in, but here at the AMC, because of COVID, you know, the theaters were kind of looking for ways to kind of get people to come back to the movies. So we could rent a whole movie theater for $100. And
with 75, 80 seats.
75, 80 seats. Yeah, maybe. I think more than that probably even. But anyway, there was a cap of 20, but we never brought 20. I think 12, I think, was the most that we could get together. Some of the people that were watching Indiana Jones had never seen it before. And so I know all these jokes that are coming up, you know, like the no ticket.
Yeah.
You know, or like that.
Good one.
Or that Elsa is banging the father and Indiana Jones.
Was the next guy, Dad.
But man, isn't it really cool to see a movie of that caliber that's so good in this environment and you know everything about it and you get to kind of live through their eyes a little bit. It's really cool.
We definitely took from their soul.
Yeah, we did. Because a lot of us were
trying to watch it.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, but you know, we have the theater. We're going to treat it a little differently. Yeah, but it was so good.
So anyway, pandemic's coming to an end, so that's pretty much over. Yeah. Gonna have to buy another projector.
I'm pretty sure the theaters would be happy to have the business. I'm mm-hmm. thinking you could still do that.
Well, as long as they don't make me watch a new movie. Yeah. I swear, I've got 120 hours of Indiana Jones under my belt.
Those I can watch at home for free.
Yeah, I know. I actually like the idea.
No, I got HBO Max. I want to see something old.
Yeah,
I want to pay money.
I
want to
relive my childhood. Oh, Three Amigos on the big screen.
I love the idea of watching these old movies on the big screen. It's better.
Dude, Three Amigos, Plain Balls. You know what?
Little Nettie Knickers.
we're getting a little off track. Oh, I don't know if we can arrange a Three Amigos thing.
I could do another copyright.
No, please. We're quite all right.
We've only got so much digital tape.
Yes, we can just paste that other copyright at this point. But instead, I guess before we go, Marky, you're going to want to at least address Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, we have not talked much
go
about
ahead. It. We'll give you a few minutes.
All right. All I want to say about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Shia LaBeouf apologist. Go ahead.
I don't care about LaBeouf. But look, if you guys are upset about a lead-lined refrigerator.
No, we were never going to actually let Marky talk about that movie, but we are going to let him give away his special fancy 4-movie Blu-ray set of all the Indiana Jones movies. And if you want to grab those, all you got to do is send him an email of your memory of watching the movie. Send that over to a Saturday Morning Serial at MattyPRadio.com. That's Saturday Morning Serial at MattyPRadio.com. Drop him a line. He'd love to hear it. But
you know what?
Really,
these are not believable movies.
That's about enough of this.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
This is enough of this.